This program is sponsored by West Automotive Group.
The West Automotive Group presents Auto Talk Radio with host Brian Bowersock. Today's show is brought to you by West Escondido, West El Cajon, West Kearney Mesa, and West Miramar Automotive and Transmission. All part of the West Automotive Group. Get your automotive questions answered. Call Brian at 1-888-344-1170. That's 1-888-344-1170. Now, here's your Auto Talk host, Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks, welcome back to Auto Talk Radio, live this wonderful Saturday morning on May the 13th. At least the 13th fell on a Saturday, not a Friday, huh, Brendan?
Definitely don't want that bad luck. Although, my birthday is on the 13th, so...
Of what?
Of November. Oh. So
it's, is it ever on a Friday?
Yes, it's definitely falling on Friday.
Oh, wow. So
before.
It's a bad day then, huh?
From what I remember, it's been okay, actually.
Jason's never stalked you?
No, not as far as I know. Nor his mother. Nor his mother.
Oh, yes.
Because that's the first movie. That was the first movie.
Well, crazy stuff, man. Well, we're glad you're safe, even though your birthday's on the 13th sometimes. Oh, wait. Your birthday's always on the 13th, but it's sometimes on Friday. Yeah, there you go. Anyway, just a little bit of superstition, so all good. All right, folks, thanks for joining this morning to Auto Talk Radio, 1-888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Anything automotive related, happy to talk to you about. Now that we've established that Brendan has a birthday on the 13th and sometimes on Friday, we're going to move on to other important things as far as auto-wise. So the show today we are talking about is how important is it to have somebody qualified diagnose your vehicle? So this is a thing that we work with all the time as far as with folks. We see so many vehicles that have had repairs done that are supposedly diagnosed, but that have been diagnosed improperly. The repairs, money spent, didn't fix the vehicle. Therefore, the vehicle shows up at the West Automotive Group and we got to start this whole process over. And unfortunately, we've said there's, you know, all this money's been spent on the vehicle and the problem's not fixed. And you can actually create other concerns a vehicle by replacing components on it. So now you have more than one thing going on, et cetera, as far as that goes. Main thing here is that we're talking about is why do you charge for diagnosis time and why is it important and who should be diagnosing a vehicle and how. So all these great things we're going to discuss this morning. And also anything else automotive related, like I stated, just give us a call, 1-888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. And we'll talk about anything automotive for sure. There is a world, in the best way to put this, there's a world of difference between a free estimate for known repairs, such as if you know you need brakes and you say, hey, these are the items I've had the vehicle looked at. This is what I need. I need, you know, brake pads and rotors or calipers or whatever it needs, and you know what you need, that's called an estimate. And yes, those should be no charge, and it's simple to do and put them all together and give you an idea when you know. Or, hey, I need an A service or a B service, or, you know, I need an oil change or I need a transmission service, it's time for my vehicle. Those are all just estimates. There's no diagnosis going on there, and there should be no charge for those, put those together. But when you have a problem with the vehicle, a drivability concern, something's not operating properly, there's so many items that can cause that concern to happen that it needs to be diagnosed properly. And that's time spent as far as that goes. And usually can take an hour or so for a qualified technician to diagnose it properly. As far as that goes, which becomes very important. So diagnosis procedures for difficult, intermittent technical problems, etc. Accurate diagnosis of your vehicle's trouble is imperative for precise estimates and to be able to provide economical, accurate, and lasting repairs. But it frequently can take a lot of time and resources to get there. And that's why when we talk about time and resources and the cost of something, it becomes very important to get it diagnosed right the first time. Otherwise, these resources may need to invest our expenses. So we thought we'd explain the need for and the expense of technical diagnostic procedures and why it costs money to actually do these properly by somebody qualified. Number one, the person qualified has gone to school and learned how to diagnose your vehicle properly the first time, which is extremely important, like I said. In the long run, qualified diagnosis by a quality technician saves you thousands of dollars over service and repair of a vehicle, for sure. Otherwise, parts are just thrown at a vehicle, and it becomes very costly, which is what we're kind of talking about here this morning, as far as that goes. In some cases, a diagnosis of a problem can be straightforward, and there may be a minimal expense arriving there. Depends on what it is. Other times, problems are complex, may only appear under certain conditions, only appear intermittently, or may be caused by multiple interacting systems, such as vehicles today that everything is multiplexed together and runs on what's called a CAN interface, which is a network inside the vehicle, and all modules speak to each other, and one problem with one thing can cause another problem with another thing, can cause another problem with another thing, you know, and it all comes down to some part of the CAN system being down, and it's not this module or that module or et cetera. It's, you know, those type of things can cause all kinds of different symptoms in a system, which in doing so, you know, we often, like I said, see things replaced that do not correct the concerns that we're talking about. So with a certain vehicle, times problems are complex and may only appear under certain conditions, only appear intermittently, or may be caused by multiple, like I said, interacting systems. The time has passed when someone with basic knowledge and a few tools can properly diagnose or repair your vehicle for these kind of concerns. You have to have the right equipment, the right knowledge, the ability to be able to test and do things properly. Today's technical problems require the attention of highly trained and experienced personnel, along with the use of proprietary equipment and data resources that we often purchase from the manufacturers to do so. Difficult problems on late model computer control vehicles often require more time for diagnostic procedures than the actual repair time needed to correct them, which is true also. Often we'll find a module that's pulled something down, or a wiring concern, a connector concern, a ground concern. It's so interesting today about how so many things are affected by grounds. You know, people say, like, my transmission isn't shifting right. Well, we come to find out that we're having a grounding problem, so the modules, the network's not working properly, or something like that. Or a sensor on the CAN network is pulling down the network and causing intermittent issues. So all very important, and without the proper training and equipment to test and do this, then a bunch of things get replaced on a vehicle. The worst thing that can happen when you're dealing with these kind of electronic concerns, we've seen this before, is if you get somebody that's kind of a do-it-yourselfer, or their friends helping them, and that's a do-it-yourselfer, and what do? They go and they go over to a pick-apart, and they start getting used parts and sticking on the vehicle. Well, a lot of these modules, you can't, you swap them in and out. They're VIN specific. They have other issues. You can't leave them. You can't put them into the vehicle and make it work right. Now you've created all kinds of issues. Now it becomes an extremely expensive diagnosis. So we got to then figure out, you know, what's been replaced on the vehicle. And then folks bring a car in, and they often think that if they avoid telling you about what they've done with the vehicle or certain things, then it'll be less expensive to fix it, which is never the case, to be honest with you. It's always more expensive that way. Don't leave things out when you're dealing with a vehicle. So we're talking about diagnosis on a vehicle and different repairs and items like that, but we'll talk to you about anything automotive related. Give us a call here. 1-888-344-1170 is 888-344-1170. We're going to take our first break. You're listening to Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego, 1170 AM and 96.1 FM in North County. We'll be right back after these messages.
There's more Auto Talk education and empowerment on the way here on Auto Talk Radio. Get on the line and get your automotive questions answered by the Auto Man here on Auto Talk Radio. Brian Bowersock, 888-344-1170. Now, here's more Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock.
Welcome back to Auto Talk Radio. Me and Brendan were just talking about the whole border crisis thing. Fun stuff. Everybody's talking about that right now.
Huh? I wouldn't go fun stuff, but you know, it's shocking stuff. A lot of the things that are going on down there for sure.
Everybody should be happy that the West Automotive Group does not fix cars the way the administration's fixing the border problem. Those are some broke cars down there, man. Shoot. Wow. Yeah, you know, the hardest part for me with all this is the way that I put things together in the West Automotive Group, and the way we do things and policies and procedures and how things are handled to customers and clients and all the stuff that goes with it. Whoever's doing this job is disastrous at it. I'm just going to say that. If you worked for me and you did your job in that fashion, you'd be fired in a heartbeat.
Yes.
You wouldn't last a week, so... Mm-hmm. It just amazes me. I just look at it and I think there's so many answers to, but let's not go there. We're not talking about that now. Moving on. All right, folks, 1-888-344-1170. Anything automotive related, I'll talk to you about for sure. 1-888-344-1170. Yeah, so we're talking about difficult problems on late model computer control vehicles often require more time for diagnosis procedures than the actual repair, which is true. Got a module pulling down the CAN bus or something like that. A diagnosing it will take more time than replacing and programming the module for sure. But when done right, all the problems are fixed. Whoop, like magically, one shot. So, for example, we might invest hours testing vehicle systems to ultimately find the corrosion in some buried wiring connector creating a malfunction, which is true. And that goes back to, like I said, we see a lot of ground problems these days. We get about ground circuits not completing, which therefore causes issues with the CAN network, which therefore causes all kinds of fun things to happen. And sometimes it can be fun things like, well, it only happens once every 2 weeks. I'm driving down the road. I turn left when the sun's shining in my eyes and, you know, that kind of stuff. So you never know. Once again, it's where it becomes very important to have somebody that's qualified with the right equipment to diagnose your vehicle. And this goes back to charging for diagnosing because it requires training. It requires somebody qualified. It requires good equipment and the right equipment. And knowledge. I mean, you need all these things to fix this vehicle properly. Otherwise, you're just shooting in the dark. What do you think, Brendan?
And you're no James Bond if you're shooting in the dark, you know. You're no, nine times out of ten, you're not going to hit
going
the
around.
Target.
Exactly, the corrosion thing is real like that. Or like I said, a module failure. Connector pins backed out. Keep in mind, your vehicle now is a computer, which you have, you know, sitting on your desk, except for we drive the computer down the road, bouncing down the road, and especially here in San Diego, all the potholes. It's very surprising. There's not more loose things on vehicles. But definitely can affect multiple things on a vehicle. And in order to spend just a few minutes cleaning the guilty connector to resolve the problem once identified and located, but it's the identified and located the problem, which is so important during this whole repair process because it just can't be done properly without the right training or knowledge. If your check engine light comes on and warns the problems with the engine management, body control, or other computer-controlled systems, code retrieval trouble codes are stored, but these codes often offer no specific information about causes of correction, may not reveal the existence of multiple problems. Often folks think that you plug a scanner into a vehicle, it gives you a code, and it tells you what's wrong with the code. With the car, I'm sorry. Nothing could be further from the truth. code supply systems that have experienced a fault or pick something up. Often codes are set by sensors that are not the culprit, but have picked up something that's out of perimeter that they watch on the vehicle. One for sure is air fuel ratio sensors and oxygen sensors, etc., which job is to monitor the exhaust and the content of fuel and different the air fuel ratio, basically. If they pick up a problem, that doesn't mean the sensor's bad necessarily, but it does mean that something's out of parameters for it, that it's reading and it doesn't like it, and it's turning on the code because it's telling you now, hey, there's a problem here, as far as that goes. Anyway, let's grab a question real quick from Bruce. Good morning, Bruce.
Oh, good morning. I just want to mention that you called it a couple of weeks ago, and I asked you about that problem with the EVAP system. And I told you I replaced the fuel cap to no avail. And then you said something about that pump, vacuum pump, I think you called it.
It's on a Jeep or a Chrysler product, right?
It was the Jeep.
Jeep, so okay.
Yeah, and you called it. That's what it was. The stupid thing is you have to pull the rear wheel off passenger side, yeah. And, you know, and then you have to pull that little compartment, mud flap compartment. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's what it was.
They don't always put those things in a fun spot to get to, that's for sure.
No, that's true. So anyway, you've been talking about the grounds today, and I had a real interesting problem, and this occurred back in 1980 mm-hmm. or so. And it would be on the, it happened on the current site of the Burning Man, you know, that thing that they do out in Nevada.
Yeah. Get together, we'll call it.
Exactly. And this was before the Burning Man. And so that area was devoid of humans.
Yeah.
Miles and miles around. And it was totally flat. And I was driving this Scout. It was a 78 Scout. And I lost all electrical on it. Mm-hmm. So everything was black. Any thoughts on what I did? Mm-hmm. I drove home.
Oh, you were able to drive it home. So you lost all the like the headlights and all that is what you're saying?
Everything. And I drove it home. Any guess on how I did that? It was a Scout. What option?
Huh. You're gonna have to let me know on that one.
Okay, it was a Scout diesel.
Then absolutely. Yeah, she don't need electricity to run. She'll just drive on home.
The only way you can kill, and this is in pitch black, the only way you can kill the engine was with that air flap.
Yep.
So anyway, I had off-road lights, and they were hooked directly to the battery. And so I did have a headlight to get home.
Yeah, the motor in a diesel doesn't need any, unlike a gas motor that needs spark. So you run, you know, if you run, you lose the charging system in a battery on and run a battery down on a gas motor, the car eventually quits on you. It's eventually there's not enough voltage to keep it running. But you are right. Diesel needs no electricity to keep well. Today's diesels do because there's so many electronics on them. But then, that diesel motor needed nothing to keep it going. Once it was started, it was started. The only time you'd be stuck is if you shut it off and you couldn't start it again because there's no crank. So, but
like I said, it was pitch dark. So my off-road lights, which were wired directly to the battery, got me home. I had no idea. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know it was the ground, but I
gotcha.
In the daylight, you know, popped the hood and started poking around, and I found it was loose. That was the main ground. Anyway, I thought it was kind of interesting.
Yeah, it is, and that's a great stumper. I'm glad you called with that. But yeah, on those old diesels, you're right. Once they're up and running, they just go and go and go. They don't need anything else. The only thing that would have prevented you from making it home is if you ran the lights too long and it ran the battery dead, and now you have no lights and you're just driving around in the dark.
Exactly. I wouldn't do that. I would just pull over and wait it out.
There you go. Wait till daylight, and you'll be just fine then. You got it, Bruce. Hey, thanks for the call, and thanks for all the information you bring this show. Appreciate hearing from you all the time, man.
You're welcome.
Have a great weekend. Take care. Be safe. Bye-bye. That's a good point. Back in the old day, the old diesels, you could get once they were started, they just kept going. And you had to be careful with some of the old two-stroke diesels worked with the supercharged ones, because if those started to pull engine oil up through past the rings, they could get a run-on where they'd take off and you couldn't shut them down. There's no way to turn them off except for kind of like he said, the flap. You had to shut the air off to them. So they used to say when I was in the Navy with those, if you get a runaway of one, you jettison rags into the supercharger, which would blow it up and lock it up. So that's the only way to stop it. Otherwise, it becomes a hand grenade. It goes until it blows and it comes apart and it's shrapnel flying all over the place. And we don't want that. It's like having a little bomb go off. Not a good thing. So anyway. Hey, folks, I do want to remind you, Auto Talk Radio is brought to you by the West Automotive Group, which now consists of 5 locations. We just added a new one in Oceanside, which is kind of a cool location. I love the group of guys that are there. And by the way, that location, everybody that worked there stayed with us because when we decided to put this together, speaking to them, and I went and talked to all the employees that, and I was like, man, this shop's got an amazing group of guys. It really does. So was really good stuff. And therefore, the exact same people are there. So nothing changed on that. And they're really excited to be part of the West Automotive Group, and it worked out really good. So Auto Talk Radio is brought to you by West Automotive Group, which consists of West Escondido Auto and Transmission up at 2200 Auto Parkway in Escondido. AAA approved, STAR certified. Taking care of folks up there in North County now for over 30 years coming this August. Along with West El Cajon Automotive and Transmission out in East County, taking care of folks, 844 North Johnson Avenue in El Cajon, AAA approved. Taking care of folks out there for over 10 years, for sure. And West Kearney Mesa Automotive and Transmission right here in Central San Diego, 8027 Balboa Avenue, AAA approved and smog certified right there, taking care of folks there in Central San Diego for over 6 years now, believe it or not. And of course, we have West Miramar Automotive and Transmission right here in the Golden Triangle, 5726 Miramar Road in Eastgate Mall, AAA approved and STAR certified for smog, taking care of folks, hard to believe, just over 4 years now for that. And then, of course, like I said, West Oceanside Automotive and Transmission, 229 South Coast Highway, taking care of folks over there now for 2 weeks. That sounds different.
Oh, it sounds like a little infant.
No, but that store has been there for 30 years.
Yeah. I know. I was just, you know.
Yeah. And that's what I said when we decided to do this, and I went and talked to the employees that were all there, and I sat down with them, which is what I do. And I was like, wow, this is a group of great guys. And they've been where all those people, like one guy's been there 15 years, another guy's been there 6 years, technician's been there 12 years. I was like, you know what? I want to keep these guys. They're good. So, which is what we did. So, and everybody seems to be happy and trucking right along is good 2 weeks. I spent all this week over there operating on about 4 hours sleep a night. That's what happens when we do a new store. It takes a lot of work to get it all put together, systems changed over. Spent all day Saturday after the show last week crawling around putting in all the new computers and software and all that stuff. So my weekend, I worked till 9 o'clock Saturday night, and then I did take Sunday off though to sleep. That's about it. Just to do Brendan's favorite pastime, sleep.
Well, I mean, hasn't been that way as of late. But that baby coming.
Wait till that baby shows up. Oh, there'll be no sleep, brother.
No sleep at all.
No sleep for the wicked. No, it's good, though.
I'm just training.
You're going to enjoy being a dad.
You can call me just training myself for doing that right now.
There you go. Without any sleep. There you go. All good stuff. So anyway, all of us, all the employees at all 5 locations, part of the West Automotive Group, come together to bring you Auto Talk Radio for one simple reason. We all believe in the same philosophy. We never put money ahead of people. Stop in, have your vehicle service repaired, and find out what quality automotive service and repair is all about. The West Automotive Group is also proud to offer 6 months no interest for your vehicle service and repair needs, of course, on approved credit. Take advantage of our CertiCare transmission diagnosis or our diagnosis for drivability or any other concern. This is what we're talking about today. Get your vehicle fixed right the first time. We only hire the best qualified folks to make sure your vehicle is diagnosed properly and we're repairing it properly, which is extremely important when it comes to repairs of a vehicle. So stop in and find out what Quality Automotive Service and Repair is all about, and we'll get her diagnosed properly or repaired or just serviced. You can also jump on westautomotivegroup.com, make appointments at all five locations, or just check us out where I'm the auto man. You can click on that for the CW and Fox 5. You can click on Auto Talk Radio, or you can just cruise around and find out all about us. That's westautomotivegroup.com, where, like I said, you can make appointments also, or grab a phone number for a location or whatever works best for you. We're here to help you out. So good stuff as far as that goes. You can also email me anytime at autotalk@westautomotivegroup.com. But give me a call live now at 1-888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Anything automotive related, we're here to talk to you about. All right, folks, we're going to take our last break here real quick. 1-888-344-1170. You're listening to Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego 1170 and 96.1 FM. Be right back after these messages.
There's more Auto Talk education and empowerment on the way here on Auto Talk Radio. Get on the line and get your automotive questions answered by the Auto Man here on Auto Talk Radio. Brian Bowersock, 888-344-1170. Now, here's more Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock.
Yep, welcome back to Auto Talk Radio. Yep, this is Brian Bowersock. Here I am. I'm with Brendan Thomas.
Hola.
Our amazing producer.
Aloha.
Who's over there flipping switches and turning dials and making it all happen, right, Brendan?
Konnichiwa. I'm trying to say hello in many different languages. I think I'm running out of languages.
There's like 700 languages. Go for it. Go now.
Oh.
Go now.
Hi. That's another
That's English. Good job.
Thank you.
So, folks, we only hire the most talented producer, so he can say hello in 47 languages.
Or the only one that can stay up till 6 in the morning or 5 in the morning, depending on the garden show guys or, you know, that sort of stuff, too.
Yeah. What time do you get here in the morning?
I get here at 5 to set up for garden guys.
All right. You know? And their show is 6 to 7.
That's right.
And then I'm 7 to 8.
Yep. And then I get a 1 hour break, and then we got a lawyer show after that. So.
Oh, lawyers. They're always fun people.
You know what? These guys are really, really fun people.
What kind honestly. Of law do they do?
They mostly work with bankruptcy and injury, but they will. But their show specifically is about anything they want to talk about, and if you have any other legal questions at all.
Cool.
So, like, that's
a good show, too. It's like car repair. You need car repair. You also, at some point in your life, will need advice from an attorney.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, recently, we've been talking to the San Diego Community College District, where they were letting go of people for religious exemptions or medical exemptions from the COVID vaccine. We've been talking to people that were suing San Diego Community College District. And luckily, they won the case. So,
they did?
Yep. So they're reinstated as employees now. And
so they weren't looking for money. They were looking for their job back specifically.
Correct. Yes,
oh, well, there
exactly.
you go. That's a good thing to do.
Exactly. Yeah. So crazy world. Hey, quick question before I know you got to get into
it. Is it a car question?
It is car related, actually.
Let's do it.
So the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, as we know, they're demanding a recall of 67 million airbag inflators because they believe there is a safety defect. And however, the auto supplier, which is ARC Automotive Inc., ARC, they rejected the request, and they also rejected the documents that were released on Friday as well. I thought that as soon as the NHTSA says, "Oh, we need to recall these airbags," then you have to follow through on it. Why?
Well, they could get in front of a judge.
Oh,
I mean, there is legal process, you know, but you can't have a governmental agency that can just make you do whatever they say, because who inside there decided that this information, what engineers or whatever. So if these folks, whoever made these, if they feel like that is not right, they can go to federal court and with their attorneys and their experts and show why there doesn't need to be a recall. There is no safety issue.
Okay. I would think in a general public sense that the NHTSA is a very trustworthy kind of agency where they're actually looking out for the safety and well-being of us out there, and they're not trying to hurt any businesses by doing these recalls. They're just trying to look out for the best interest.
You do know you're talking about a government agency, right?
I understand.
Look around at the other government agencies and tell me that you think that they all have the best interest of the people.
I mean, look at the world we're in right now, my friend. I could see that, but there's in terms of public reception, the NHTSA doesn't get that much, you know, flack, I would say.
I agree with you, and I do not see a reason why they would want to harm a corporation. Mm-hmm. But then again, one of their engineers that came up with this could be wrong, just flat out. I mean, could be.
Okay.
I mean, I would think if that company is fighting this, they have a leg to stand on. In other words, there's something about it. Like, hey, there shouldn't be a recall on this. You know why? Or it's not all of these. It's this one run of them. And we're not recalling all 15 million.
Oh, 67 million. Yeah.
There may be a thing in this that, like, hey, there was one run from one factory used, which was only 1.5 million of them. We'll recall those.
Yes.
But we're not recalling all these other ones, which could be that too. I don't know. I don't know the specifics of it. So.
Okay.
Could be. There's a lot that goes into that, but obviously, I'm telling you now, if they're stating that they're not going to follow that, they're going to go to court over it, and they probably have a foot to stand on because it costs a lot to go to court.
Of course, and also to be against that government agency too, which is already funded,
unlimited. I mean, the government, when it comes, they have attorneys that work for them and everything. They have unlimited resources. That's what I was looking for almost. So, and their unlimited resources is my and your tax dollars they're going to spend to fight this company.
Right, right.
So let's hope that they're right if they're going to do it.
Okay.
Instead of wasting money. But yeah, so we'll see. I mean, I don't know.
I learned something new every week there.
Yeah. There's always, I mean, they just because a government agent comes up with something, they could have made a mistake. They could be wrong.
Well, a government making a mistake. I never heard that. But
I know. That never happened.
That is the first time I ever heard such a thing. Bees.
You just never know, do you? All right, folks, real quick. I do want to remind you, Auto Talk Radio is also brought to you by Interstate Batteries, a battery for every need. Interstate Batteries are the highest quality batteries out there. A number one technician recommended battery worldwide also. We do not stock nor sell any other automotive-related battery when it comes to Interstate Batteries. That's what we stock at the West Automotive Group. If there's an application for your vehicle that has an Interstate battery needed for it, or a battery needed for it, then we will use an Interstate for that application for direct fit. They do produce the highest quality batteries, and that's why they're number one. If you need a battery for any other reason other than automotive-related, or truck-related, you can check them out at their storefronts. They have batteries for everything at 9345 Cabot Drive in Miramar or La Mesa at 70th and University. Interstate Battery, a battery for every need. So good stuff there. Let's real quick. Alan's got a diesel question. Good morning, Alan. What's happening?
Morning, Brian. Just before the break, you were talking about that diesel, the guy that called in about the diesel.
The old school diesel, yeah, old International Scout diesel.
Right, right. When you were talking about the runaway condition, my mind went to something. My older brother was a mechanical engineer for General Electric on railroad locomotives, and he was talking about runaway condition. They call it a runaway condition.
Yes, correct.
Where it just goes out of control.
Well, and what happens is it develops a fuel source from something. So when I was in the Navy, we'd have these, and they were two-stroke Detroits with superchargers on them. And they would if they started to pull oil past the rings, they could run off on their own, and the engine oil was the fuel, and they could continue to run until they ran out of oil. But the problem is they start pulling so much of it that they overspeed and they hand grenade.
So how do you prevent that on commercial vehicles today? Do they have anything? Do they have the flapper valve configuration where they just shut off the air?
Well, so those were all two strokes, and commercial vehicles these days, most of them are four strokes. It's a whole different scenario. So they don't have that kind of problem. Does that make sense?
What prevents it in commercial vehicles today? I mean, what's the difference? It's a four-stroke engine, but it can still pull oil from the crankcase, can it?
Yes, except for we don't see the two strokes needed a supercharger, which induces a ton of air in there to make this process work, where it can suck, pull oil like that. So a four stroke doesn't operate that way. They use turbochargers, but it's not the same principle. So then they don't have the ring problem. I've never seen a four stroke diesel run away ever. So, and the ones you're talking about in the train condition, those were probably two strokes also.
Probably, yeah. They're two and four stroke in railroad locomotives.
Yeah, so the four strokes don't ever, I've never heard, you know, that's a great question, but I've never seen that problem happen. And I probably because they're not supercharged. So the supercharger keeps packing more air in the faster, and those are direct driven superchargers, gear driven. So the more air it packs in, the faster it goes, it packs more air and it's pulling more fuel, and that's why it just keeps going until it blows up.
Oh yeah, that does make sense.
Yeah,
the supercharger provides an unlimited amount of air in relation to engine speed.
Yeah, and super compressed air too. I mean, like, the faster you go, the more compressed air that thing's putting in there. So that's why those two strokes produce so much torque and power. Also, it was a great engine for what you used it for. Yeah, once they unlimited supply of fuel and air on those, and they will run away like crazy.
So you mentioned that you throw rice on the air intake.
No, rags.
Oh, rags. Okay.
Just the rags. It would blow up the supercharger is what would happen. It would lock it up. Yeah, it would destroy it. But once you've done that, now you've stopped the induction of air, and without air, the motor stops, it just quits. So
okay, wow.
It's better than having one blow up, because if you've ever seen one blow up, it's seriously like a bomb going off. It throws shrapnel everywhere. I mean, they just overspeed until they come apart.
Wow. Have they ever had an incident like that on a Navy ship?
I don't know. These were on... I'm sure they tab because they had that equipment on the ship, the same equipment. We had it on land happen a couple times. So, yeah, I'm sure. But keep in mind, these are little four-cylinder Detroits is what they were. So we were using them in tractors and using them in the big HVAC units that supply the air that goes to an airplane, like when it's sitting on the runway.
Uh-huh.
You know, they operate that kind of equipment, if that makes sense.
Okay. Wow. Oh, man.
Yeah, hey, interesting, huh?
Have you got time for another short story?
Sure, go for it.
We used to have a really good auto shop down here in Chula Vista, but the politicians closed it down, the politicians in the school district.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I was taking auto mechanics and auto body, and the auto mechanics teacher was really a great guy, and he had a thing happened on his girlfriend, a little Suzuki Jeep one time.
Uh-huh.
And so he told her to bring it in. It was pumping raw gasoline out of the exhaust pipe.
Whoa.
And he brought it in. I thought, oh my gosh, you know, this thing's going to burn up any minute. But when you look at it, it wouldn't, because it takes what's that terminology? A
stoichiometric
ratio.
Yeah, you get, well, a gasoline engine, you dump that much fuel down in it, it's not even igniting the fuel, it's just too wet. So yeah, right. It doesn't have a good air fuel ratio is what you're saying. Yeah,
right. And then over a period of time, it'll ruin the engine because it's wiping the cylinder walls clean and you aren't lubricating them. But
well yeah, so and you can actually on a vehicle that has that temporary condition will actually drop compression almost to nothing in the cylinder that's having that problem, like you have an injector stick open.
Uh-huh.
Because you're right, it washes the cylinder wall. You can actually get the compression back on that, though. You stop the problem and you squirt some oil in there, let the rings reseat, and then a lot of times the compression ratio will come back.
Okay. It did come down to an injector that was on all the time, and most of my background is electronics, and it seemed like, oh my gosh, if you look at the way those injectors are set up on most of them,
mm-hmm.
they're tied to +12.
Yep.
And then you take the other end of the injector, and that gets grounded by the computer.
Correct. Yeah, the driver is aground on those, most of them. You're correct.
Right, right. And so that's exactly what happened. So we started, a couple of other guys and I started troubleshooting it, and it looked like there was a wire that was pinched in a cable clamped under the hood.
Oh.
And we just opened it up and started tracing that wire, and sure enough, that's what it was. Got it corrected. But it was a great learning experience, and I was really kind of concerned about what might happen, you know, if something set that gasoline off, but turns out it wouldn't. So,
well, no explosion, but you could end up with a small fire if you're not careful.
Right, yeah, on the back end.
Yeah, correct. Exactly. Hey, Alan, great story, man, and thanks for sharing. Appreciate hearing from you. You have a safe, wonderful weekend.
You too, Brian.
All
talk
right.
to you later.
Take care. You got it. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All good questions as far as that goes. Let's grab Paul and Santee real quick. Good morning, Paul. How you doing today?
Good morning.
What's
I just woke up at 8 or at 7:10 and glad to be able to turn your show on and listen a bit.
Thanks for joining in.
Yeah, I got it turned on at 7:29, I think.
Gotcha. Yeah. What do you got going on?
Maybe earlier, but my Legacy, Subaru Legacy 003, can't keep it running.
Okay.
It'll start, but it won't stay running. So had it towed over to the shop there on Mission Gorge Road. Mechanic who normally repairs my other car. I think he's been in contact with your store there in Johnson Avenue after I suggested it. And something about the main brain.
Yeah, it's going to be important to get that diagnosed properly, that's for sure.
By all the experts?
Well, by somebody that can diagnose it properly, that's for sure. Yeah, if he's having easy, you're saying he's struggling getting it diagnosed for you?
Yes, it seems to be that. He's tried just about everything.
Yeah. We see that a lot, and we get cars towed in a lot that have been diagnosed elsewhere that they just can't seem to find the problem. So if he ends up getting in a quandary where he can't get it figured out, just let us know. We get it towed over and get it diagnosed for you.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to just be throwing parts at that car. It'll get expensive. So let's get it diagnosed properly and go from there. And by the way, we do replace modules in cars and computers, but it's not as common as you think. And most computers, unless a failure is caused by an external source on a car, such as somebody grounds it or there's a short or something like that, they tend to last the life of the car. So usually there's an outside source that's caused that. So like I said, it could be a sensor that shorted it caused it. It could be a human being that shorted it and caused it. But if it actually failed, but most of that is usually caused by an outside source. Computers don't tend to fail internally. Or just like the gentleman that I was just speaking to, that injector being held open by the ground circuit. Well, the ground circuit's controlled by the computer. If you don't diagnose that properly, somebody would replace the computer on the car and it wouldn't fix the scenario because he had the ground wire for the injector was being shorted against a metal tie and therefore causing the injector to stay open. Whereas a lot of people might just shotgun it and think it's a computer, but it's not. All right. So if you can't get it figured out, let us know. We'll get you in there and get you figured out. Okay, Paul?
Really? It's going to be possible then?
Oh, it's always possible to diagnose everything. You just need the right people in the right scenario.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that sounds wonderful.
Yep. You let us know if we can help you out, all right?
Yeah.
All right. So you have a wonderful, safe weekend and take care. Thanks for calling.
Who will be the leader over there now? Johnson Avenue.
Yeah, you can talk to Lance. Or Junior, either one of the two. They
All
both
right.
both run the front of the store there, okay?
Lance or Junior?
Yes, sir.
Hey, wonderful.
All right, sir. You have
Thanks a so much for encouragement.
You got it. They'll be back in on Monday, okay? You have a wonderful, safe weekend.
All right.
Take care now. Bye-bye. Well, it's always good questions when you're dealing with something like that, but that's right up the alley of what we were talking about, right, Brendan?
Right. I also wanted to point out, he mentioned that that car had less than 35,000 miles. I was like, wow.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, yeah. So it's already shutting down like that many times.
Something's happened to it. Exactly. Or somebody's happened to it, that I often say.
That ground. No, just
no. We get cars in all the time. Somebody jump starts reverse polarity.
Ah, okay.
Pop, pop, pop. Mm-hmm. Things don't run. Most cars now have protectors on them, main fuses that blow out when you do that. But when you do it, then the car will never start after that until you get it into somebody that knows how to diagnose it properly.
Right, right.
That's a case you could throw a bunch of parts at a car. If you get very expensive, you bring it in and we tell you, well, it's this $35 main fuse that you blew out, not all those parts you just put on the car. So be very careful about what you do when it comes to cars. All right, let's grab Mike. Good morning, Mike. How you doing, my friend?
Hey, what's going on, Brian? How are you doing?
Another day in paradise in San Diego.
Oh, cut it out, will you? Just cut it out. Good Lord, it's getting better out here.
I think it's going to be like 78 and sunny today, so we're not going to make it to 80, but you know.
But, well, hold on. Oh, to be fair.
Here's Brendan.
To be fair, Wednesday through Sunday, we're getting scattered thunderstorms throughout those days. So
we're going to get some water, Mike. It's going to be scary.
Uh-oh. I guess that's a big deal for you guys out there, huh?
Well, it is this year. All the water we got this year, we've seen asphalt coming apart and roofs leaking and everything else. It was like a natural disaster. Matter of fact, if you live in the state of California because of all the rain we have, you don't have to pay your income taxes this year until October. You are automatically extended because you're in a disaster area.
Is that right?
Yeah, no lie. Yeah. We had one of the main freeways that runs east to west out here in North County, San Diego. When they built the housing project above it, the drainage where they put it dumped in on the uphill side of the freeway. So we ended up with a big sinkhole, and the freeway was closed for about a month as they had to redo it because the road fell out.
Jeez, engineers, man.
Yeah, well, yeah. And that's what happens when it rains in California. It doesn't rain here very often. Good Lord.
Yeah, man.
Dude, if it snowed here, it'd be a disaster.
Oh, yeah. Hey, two questions real quick, rapid fire. Hopefully they're going to be in and out.
Sure.
Slam dunk case here. 2015 Passat. I'm putting an engine in this thing, swapping it out.
Okay.
Is that, you know, doing this in the driveway, no lift, whatever. Kind of got roped into this one. But I'm wondering, does that whole front clip have to come off of there?
It's easier. If you do, yeah, makes it easier for sure, especially doing it there on the driveway. It's going to give you more clearance. You don't got to get such a high lift out of it to get it out of there and everything. Yes. Either that or, since you're doing so tough that way. Normally on those, we drop them out the bottom, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
The entire subframe out, but you can't. It's really hard to do that on the ground. You can't get the car up high enough to get the motor out from underneath of it.
Yeah, no. I've seen a lot of clips where they're taking that front clip, that doghouse out, and you know, snatching it out that way.
Yeah, you're going to have to do it that way. That's going to be the easiest way if you're going to do it on the ground, for sure.
Gotcha. Another question. Is there anything that needs to be programmed after that thing is done? Do you know?
No, shouldn't be.
Just plug and play?
Should be just plug and play. You're not. You're going to reuse all the injectors and all that stuff, right?
Oh, yeah. It's a long block. Yeah. You know,
No, should be fine. All I would do is clear all the adaptives on the car. You can do that with a simple scan tool, and she'll start to relearn.
Boom. Okay. One other question. I got a Harley 2021 Iron 883.
Uh-huh.
Jump started with a car. It drained the battery, left the key, key on.
Uh-huh.
Jumped it with the car. It was fine for about 2 miles, and then the battery light came on and the check engine light came on.
Uh-huh.
What do you think the odds are of blowing the stator?
I doubt it. I just think the battery's probably junk. I almost said a battery.
Well, I got to put a new battery in it.
You put a new battery in it? Oh.
Yeah, still there.
Well, it could have. Or the charge control module on it.
I'm just wondering if that wouldn't take out a fuse, though, first, though. The fuse were all good.
It should, but you never know. You know what I mean? You just never know. So,
kind of specific, but yeah. It's a bummer. It's one of those things.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to be putting a stator on that. You got to take the primary cover off and all that jazz.
It's a bit of work. Yeah. It's a bit of work.
I mean, hopefully maybe it's a voltage regulator.
It's probably a regulator. The stators are pretty strong on those.
I would think so. You know, yeah, I would think.
Yep.
So I think I might be okay there. But anyway, all right, Brian, have a good one, man. I appreciate the info as always. Did you make it back out this way for Kevin's thing or no?
We had a big celebration of life here. I did not make it back for that. I was talking to Jeff Stokes, though. He sent me some of the koozies that he had made.
I saw that on Facebook.
Good stuff. Yep.
I didn't know if you made it back this way or not.
I didn't, but miss him every day, man. Every day.
Oh, I can only imagine. God bless, man, and Godspeed, of course. So I will talk to you soon.
Thanks. Back at you, Mike. Take care. Good to hear from you.
Bye, man. Okay. Bye-bye. You too. Bye-bye.
All right, folks. Thanks for joining us this morning. As always, we love when you're part of the Auto Talk Radio. You need to keep the rubber side down and the shiny side up, as always, and be safe. We will be returning next week for another hour of Auto Talk Radio from 7 to 8 a.m. Every Saturday, I want you to get up, tune in, and make sure you get your coffee going before. So this is a request. Up at 6:45, first cup of coffee, ready to listen to Auto Talk. No. Actually, got to be up at 5:45. Got to listen to Garden Talk. Yep. Okay. Do it both. All right, San Diego and everybody else out there, be safe. This has been Auto Talk Radio.
Same time for Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock. To learn more about Brian, become a guest or sponsor of the show, or if you have additional questions, visit thewestautomotivegroup.com. That's thewestautomotivegroup.com. And click on Auto Talk Radio. Join us again next week for more Auto Talk.
This program is sponsored by West Automotive Group.